We live in a world that at times is full of suffering, full of pain, full of disillusionment, frustrations and sorrow. Every day our news feeds are filled with things about wars and backbiting and economical instability, strikes, murder, abuse, and so many more things. In our day-to-day lives as well, we're faced with many different situations that we have to deal with, that at times can seem impossible. Breakdown of relationships, death of a loved one, financial struggles, problems with our children, loss of jobs or trouble within our jobs. We face a mixture of emotions, don't we? From day to day, from fear to anxiety to loneliness, perhaps even to anger. Why me? Why has this happened? We battle to work through these moments of crisis. At times we can do that in our own strength, and then we wonder why things don't ever really change. And we just move from one crisis to the next, never really feeling comfortable, hoping that something will get better. Never really fully enjoying life the way that we were meant to, the way that God intended. Love the verses from John 10, verse 10, probably in my top five. I don't know if you have a top five of Bible verses that you like, but this is probably my top five. John 10, verse 10, that says, "The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that they might have life and have it to the full." Jesus. That's what he said. "Come that you might have life and have it to the full." For many people in this world, including at times as us as believers in Jesus, we don't always live the life that Jesus talks about. Because we're at times intent on doing it in our own strength. Society and our human nature tells us that if we want to do anything, we need to do it ourselves. To seize the day. Do it ourselves. Get it all done. But the truth is, that never works. At least, that doesn't work in the long term. Situations arise that are beyond our capabilities. And even beyond the abilities for even the greatest of minds that this world has to offer. There is need for miracles. There is a need for the miraculous. The miraculous is an answer that goes beyond human wisdom and understanding, that can't be explained away by science, but is supernatural. And it can only mean one thing, and one thing only. God has turned up. See, God is the God of the miraculous. You should know that by now. If you didn't know it before, we're in the midst of our series, Miraculous. And we've been saying it every single week for the last 5 or 6 weeks. We believe that God is the God of the miraculous. It started with the creation of the world in Genesis 1. And continued all the way through the Old Testament as countless times God turned up to do the miraculous in people's lives. And into the New Testament we see the miraculous conception and birth of Jesus through the Virgin Mary. And Jesus, the Son of God, God in human flesh, grew up and performed miracles. From the feeding of the 5,000 we looked at a few weeks ago, turning water into wine, healing the sick and raising the dead, and so many more things. But the miraculous didn't finish with Jesus. It didn't even finish with the New Testament characters like Peter, John, and the Apostle Paul. The miraculous still happens today. We believe that. All over the world, in every nation, every tribe, every tongue, in every community, God wants to work the miraculous. And what's more, even exciting, is God wants to do the miraculous in your life. He wants to work in you and through you. To heal your diseases, to heal your sicknesses, to restore marriages, to redeem finances, and so much more. But he also wants to bring about the miraculous in others. Having a listening ear to hear his voice, to use the gifts that you have, to be his hands and his feet to a lost and hurting world. As you know, over this last month, 6 weeks, we've been in this series entitled Miraculous. And we've been asking ourselves this: what lessons can we learn from these miracles so that we can live a life where we're expecting for God to turn up in our everyday situations and do the miraculous? This morning in our time together, we're going to take a step back. How many of you know that at times it's good to step back in order to get a clearer picture about something that is going on? And as we take a step back, we can reflect, we can take stock, we can contemplate, and we can even realign if we need to. So that's what we're going to do this morning. So far in the series, we've looked at what is a miracle. We've looked at having the right mindset for the miraculous. We've looked at water, turning water into wine, one of Jesus' first miracles. Miracle of the 5,000. We've looked at the widow of Nain and the great storm last time out, where we looked at having faith over fear every time. But in our time together this morning, I believe that God wants to take us away from looking at another of Jesus' miracles for now. We will come back to it, don't worry. And instead, focus ourselves on another area in order to prepare us for the miraculous. And it's simply this. It's the act of consecration. The act of consecration. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to two separate verses, one in the Old Testament, one in the New. Joshua 3 verse 5, Romans 12 verse 1, if you have your Bible. Joshua first, Joshua 3 verse 5. Joshua 3 verse 5 says these words. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves. For the Lord, for tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. Read it again. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. Flick over to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. And it says these words. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. You may want to keep your fingers in those passages. But may God bless his word to us as we continue this morning. So a couple of weeks ago, I was preparing for our breakthrough prayer meeting. And I was kind of walking around in the meeting room. And I was like, God, what do you want us to pray into during this prayer meeting? And a word just popped into my spirit. You know how it does? Just popped into my spirit. And it was just like, consecration. Consecration, Steve. Consecration. As I looked through my Bible concordance, I saw many different scriptures that pointed towards the need for believers in Jesus to consecrate themselves in order that they would be ready in their spirits to live in the miraculous. Leviticus 20 verse 7 says this, consecrate yourselves therefore and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Romans 6 verse 13, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. And in Galatians 2 verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Great scriptures, aren't they? But this one from Joshua 3 verse 5 just smacked me in the face. The one that we've just read. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. So Joshua and the Israelites have been roaming around the desert for the last 40 years. Most of the previous generation, if not all of them, had died, and Moses himself had died. Joshua had taken over. And God had told them that now was the time for them to step into the promised land. But here's the thing. It wouldn't be easy. And in fact, it looked pretty impossible for them. Firstly, they were by the side of the Jordan River. And they needed to get to the other side. And it was a river that was big and it was flowing. And there were no bridges. It seemed impossible to get over. How would they be able to cross it? And if they did, they then faced a heavily fortified city of Jericho on the other side. They were outgunned, outnumbered. It was impossible. It needed a miracle. In the midst of this seemingly impossible situation that they find themselves, Joshua shares the words to the Israelites. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do the amazing among you. What did Joshua see that others didn't? Well, he knew that God, the God of the miraculous, was going to intervene. Yes, the Israelites would need to trust Joshua, and they would need to step out in faith into the river. But before they could even do that, they needed to consecrate themselves. They needed to be spiritually aligned with what God was doing and what he was saying. Now, the Hebrew word found in this passage, in this verse, is called kodash, which means to be wholly set apart. The consecration process required the Israelites to bathe, change their clothes, and to abstain from sexual relations. In doing so, what they were doing was they were cleansing their bodies and keeping themselves from normal pleasures in order to have their focus totally and unequivocally on God. Before the Israelites could see the miraculous, they first needed to consecrate themselves to God. As believers in Jesus in 2023, the process, I believe, for the miraculous hasn't changed. If we want to live in the miraculous, we need to learn to consecrate ourselves before God. What's interesting is that this shouldn't be a one-time thing. It's not like you consecrate yourself to God once and then that's it. Because if we live in a world where we have to just continue to focus, because things come our way, challenges come our way, temptations, pressures come our way, that we take our focus off of that consecration process, that being totally focused on God. See, through the Old Testament, you see that the Israelites were constantly called to consecrate themselves. Why? Because those things of the world can quickly contaminate our thinking and take our focus off what's important. So we need to regularly consecrate ourselves to God. And so this morning, we're going to look at what that practically means. Challenge ourselves. Perhaps even have to respond. There's going to be some stuff this morning that I might not usually do, but I'm doing this morning. Because I really, truly believe where God laid it on my heart, it was like, it has to be now. It has to be this moment. So first of all, what does it mean? Well, consecration firstly means to confess. To confess. The act of consecration requires us to lay bare everything before God. And to become like an open book, asking him to take control. If there is a need then for us to confess and ask for forgiveness, then we need to do it, however hard it might seem. Because as we do that, we become cleansed. 1 John talks about it in this way. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think that's 1 John 4:18. The act of the Israelites bathing and changing clothes represented a new start for them. It meant that they what went before them was what had gone before was gone. From that moment, they were clean and they were right, ready for the next chapter. And there's a freedom in confession. How many of you find it a little bit difficult to confess, though? Yeah? Why do you find it difficult to confess? I guess it's because we don't like to admit that we're wrong. Yeah? I mean, it's hard enough sometimes to confess to spouses and friends, isn't it? Let alone to confess to the Holy God. But that's exactly what God calls us to do, to confess. To confess and say, look, I haven't got this right, God. But there's freedom in confession. See, we're called to move away from those things that once entangled us. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 17 says, therefore come out of them from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. We need to put aside those things, those sins, those attitudes that so easily entangle us and keep us chained. We need to consecrate ourselves before the Almighty God. Is there anything this morning that you need to confess? Is there anything that might be blocking you from receiving the miraculous or living in the miraculous? A wrong attitude towards God or others? A sin that has secretly kept you chained? A bad attitude? And I said we were going to do things differently. At this juncture, we're going to take an opportunity right where we are to come before God and to do a little bit of business. We don't have to wait till the end of the sermon, but here's what we're going to do. Eric, can you just put up the next slide for me? There's going to be a slide that appears before here, and we're going to reflect. Reflect and ask what God may need to do in our lives. Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24 says this. Search me, God, and know my heart. That's a really dangerous prayer, isn't it? Search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Anyone got any anxious thoughts? See if there's any offensive way in me. We're getting really dangerous now, aren't we? And lead me in the way of blessing. So what I'm going to do, and it's just for the next 5 minutes, 3, 4, 5 minutes, I just want you to focus on that verse. And I want you to just ask God, is there anything within me on this beginning of a consecration process? If I really want to see the miraculous happening in my life, then I need to make sure that I'm right with you. I need to make sure that I've confessed. Because it's an important part of the consecration process. So let's just take a few minutes just to honestly ask God. I'm not going to get anybody to tell me anything. I'm not going to get anybody to kind of confess their sins publicly or anything like that. But between you and God right now, take this moment seriously as we prepare ourselves and consecrate ourselves. I'll be back in a few minutes. You need to know this morning. You need to know this morning that though it may feel fearful to bring and to confess before God, is what brings you freedom. And that God loved you that much that he sent Jesus to die for you, to bring about freedom. It's not something that we should fear, consecrating, confessing before him. But it's something that as we do that, we find freedom and it brings about the miraculous. Consecration brings about the miraculous. Confession is an important part of consecration, but it's not the only part. Second part is this. Give up control. Give up control. Make Jesus Lord. Make Jesus Lord. I don't know anyone who doesn't want to be in control of their lives. The worst feeling in the world is when we feel like we can't do anything and things are out of our control. There are always things out of our control. Losing our jobs, getting ill, losing a loved one, flying on a plane. That could be a little bit risky for some. Our children getting into trouble or having accidents. Often when things happen that are out of our control, I don't know if you're anything like me, but we double down on that which we can control. We keep a tighter grip on our wallets. We keep our kids safe and other things. But this can often make life feel frustrating and unfulfilling. The world tells us having control is paramount, and we can think it's good because it will protect us from harm. But the reality is it can cause more harm than good. We were never meant to have control or total control. It's not good for us. The times, I will be honest, the times I've kept total control to myself are the times I've ended up having the biggest problems. It's why God calls us to give control of our lives to him. He knows the mistakes we make, the ways we get hurt, the way we hurt others, the way we make bad decisions. He sees things that we don't. He has answers and solutions to our issues that no one else does. But let's be honest, it can feel scary to give up control. What if it goes wrong? What if God doesn't turn up when I need him most? You ever ask that question? What if I end up in a worse position than when I started and I think I can do it better? But listen to what the Apostle Paul says in response to these fears. Romans 8 verse 28, and we know that in all things, that's not some things, all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. There should be nothing in our lives that has a God back off sign. Nothing in our lives like, God, take a step back, you can't come in here. We can't have that. What do I mean? We readily give access to God to the things we're happy for him to see. But there can be at times certain areas where we're tempted to keep him at arm's length. Perhaps that might be through fear of what he might say, or because we want control over those areas because we like it. But you can't let God have part control and you have part control and expect to be fulfilled, because you won't be. It has to be all or nothing. Consecration is about all or nothing. Giving it all over to him. God calls us in Romans 12 verse 2 from our reading to not be conformed to this world. He would say to you, be in control. But instead we need to be transformed by the renewal of our mind that says, God, you take control because you know best. You see that by testing, you may discern what is the will is of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Proverbs 16, verse 3 to 4 promises this as well. If you relinquish control, he will sort everything out. Listen to this. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end. I like that. Do you like that? God works things out to its proper end. When we give our control of our lives to God, what we're effectively doing is put our whole trust in him and making him Lord. What does Lord mean? Ruler, boss, master of our lives. We give up our rights. We give up our dreams. We choose to die to self every day. We need to keep relinquishing control. Now, to the outside world, that might seem like madness. But to those who believe in Jesus, to those who have seen God at work, you will know, and perhaps you need to be reminded today, that is a safe thing to do. It's the safest thing to do. As Galatians 2 verse 20 so brilliantly puts it, I've been crucified with Christ. If you know Jesus, if you've asked him to forgive you of all your sin, you've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer you who live, but Christ lives in you. Therefore, he is greater in you. Therefore, you have to submit, surrender to him. We need to do that every day. And I knew I'd forget something, but I know I need to get something. Oh, I have got it. This wallet represents everything that I hold dear to my finances. My cards are in there, yeah? My wallet. This represents my new front door. Tonight's new front door. It represents what I own, my possessions. This ring represents my marriage to that lovely lady over there, and everything that I hold dear. This phone here represents my family, my friends, my social contacts, everything socially related. Do I hold these things tight to myself for control? Do I keep control of my wallet and never open it? Or can I only spend this amount or that amount? Or, you know, God, I need to be in control of this because we're going through a financial crisis right now. Do I give God my marriage and say, God, you need to be in control of that? Or do I go, I know what's best? I'll sort that out. Do I think, oh, it's all about the friends and all about the social media and the profiles and the identity and the personalities and the look at me, look how great I am? Or will I submit myself to God? They represent bits in my life, but they also represent your life too. Now, you might not be married, but you might be in a relationship. You might not be at that point yet, but you might be at some point. Everybody's got some kind of money. You might have it, you might have more than others, you might have less, but what are you going to do with it? What about where you live? It might not be a new house with a new door like I have, but it might be the place wherever you're living right now. Will you give those things up? Will you do this? Will you say, God, I lay at your feet and I lay my possessions before you. I lay my marriage before you. Please don't move that. I lay my wallet before you. All my money, my finances, and I lay my circumstances before you at the foot of the cross and say, God, would you have your way? Would you have your way? So I need that back because I need to be able to, not because I want to be in control, but I need to continue to record the sermon right where I am. Will you lay at his feet? Or do we take firm control? The choice is mine, whether I do it or not, and the choice is yours. And it's not something that you know that if anything to do with anybody else, it's to do with you. Now, we're not going to do it right at this juncture, but at the end, we're going to have a ministry time. If you feel that it's right for you to do something like that, whether you're here or whether you want to come to the front as an act of consecration, bringing those things that represent what you value most, then I'm going to encourage you to do that. But consecration brings about the miraculous. But if you're not willing to consecrate and surrender and give up control, then we'll never really truly see the miraculous in its fullness. Thirdly, finally, dedicate yourself to serve God. When we've given a control of our lives to God, trusting He knows best, we can safely leave it in His hands. And then in theory, we're then ready to dedicate ourselves to the service of God. Romans 12 verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. See, consecration to God requires us to become a living sacrifice. To put God first, to use our gifts to reveal Jesus, to be vessels for God's power to be at work. Colossians 3 verse 12 to 14 says it this way. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. See, as we serve God with what we have, as we're open to hear His voice and obey His commands, in return, God delights to pour His Spirit into our lives in power to see the miraculous in our lives and to be used to bring about it in miraculous in others or in an unknown situation. It may be praying to see a person healed. It may be God speaks you to speak to someone with a word of knowledge or prophetic insight. It may be you're called to pray and you don't know why. But through your consecration, God will bring about the miraculous. Will you be willing to be a servant for God, to be at service for Him? Let's go briefly back as we finish to our passage from Joshua. After the Israelites had consecrated themselves, the next day with the Ark of the Covenant, God's presence, going out before them, they stepped into the river and the river parted ways. But it didn't just part away slightly. If you read the scripture, it says, I don't know how far it went, but it went a long way back to different places, to different towns. And they all walked through on completely dry land. After that, you'll know, they did the whole walking around the walls of Jericho. When God told them what to do, service. They worshipped, they prayed, they walked. They shouted on the seventh day and the walls came tumbling down. That shouldn't have happened. That was miraculous. What do we learn? We learn that consecration leads to the miraculous. If we're not willing to consecrate ourselves, okay, that's the choice that we make. But we'll never really truly see the fullness of the miraculous in our lives. And if we don't have that, then we miss out on so much. We miss out on so much. In conclusion, are you ready today to take up the invitation to consecrate yourselves before the Almighty God? As believers in Jesus, we're called to be different, to set ourselves apart from the ways of this world. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are, I am, we are the people of God, a royal priesthood. We're called to give up control. We're called to set ourselves aside for service. We're called to confess. And when we do that, there can be no greater joy. If we want to be a people who learn to live in expectation for the miraculous, then we need to be a people willing to consecrate ourselves. Because consecration brings about the miraculous. And today, this is the challenge I believe God leaves with us. How serious are you? How serious am I to consecrate myself, to be willing to put aside my pride, to put aside my fear or my anxiety about what God may say, what other people may say, and consecrate myself, yourselves, before the mighty God? Let me remind you, the confession, asking God if there's any wrong way in me, the possessions, the keys, the marriage, the phones, everything that represents who we are in our everyday lives, are we willing to lay it before the King of Kings? I'm going to invite us to pray together. And as we do, I wonder whether Alex, if he doesn't mind, if he'll just come and play a song as we're praying. And I want to give you an invitation to do just what I said at the beginning. To come and consecrate yourselves before God. And I'm going to encourage you, if you can, and this has nothing to do with anybody else, but if you feel this is right, to consecrate yourself down at the front before God as an act of coming before Him. Sometimes you have to take a step of faith. If you can't because of, you know, the ability or you don't really want to, you can do it where you are to. But if you can, I'd encourage you, if you're bold enough, to come down to the front and to lay aside those things in surrender. And what I'm simply going to do is this. As you come down, I just want to, for those that are there, just want to go around just to pray for people. Not going to be anything other than that. Because this is more of a personal thing between you and God. If you really want to see stuff begin to happen, we need to consecrate ourselves. It is an ongoing thing, but sometimes we need to make a statement. And say, God, look, I'm being serious right now. I want to lay everything before you. So as Alex sings, don't wait until the end, just as you feel right, if it's for you, just come down, or if you don't think you can do that, just where you are, kneeling down, whatever you want to do, and just consecrate yourself before the Almighty God. And I'll be here to pray. But let's make this a holy moment. I know we've run over time a little bit, but that really doesn't matter right now. Let's do some business with God this morning. Thanks, Alex.